This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Yo, 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 all things covered, listeners and viewers. We have another amazing show with you today. Sir. One of my favorite DBs I had an opportunity to watch and play a side, you know, in my career, Richard Sherman, a part of the epic 2011 draft class out of Stanford.
Yes.
Has a whopping 37 career interceptions.
37.
A 2010 all-decade member, a Super Bowl champion, and a member of the Legion of Boom. The co-founder of the Glacier Boys and the Fan Control Football League. And also, he's now part of the NFL on Amazon broadcast team and a host of the Richard Sherman podcast show. No other than my guy,
no question.
Richie Rich. What's up, baby?
What up, Pat, man? I appreciate y'all boys having me on, man. I've been a big fan of the show.
Man, it's a privilege to have you on.
No
on
question.
The show, finally, and to jump right into it, me and Mac, we had a conversation on our last episode. I kind of gave a little insight on the first half of our relationship in the league. And then I also talked a little bit about the second half of our relationship and of our career. Can you fill the listeners in on that a little bit more?
Well, I'll never forget the first day we met at the combine. You know, yeah. We was all in the same group, me, you, DeMarcus Van Dyke,
Prince.
It was Buster, yeah, Prince, mm-hmm. Buster Screen was in there. Like it was a bunch of good dudes in there. But I just remember us, the scout from the Raiders, I'll never forget this, came mm-hmm. down and yelled at us. And he was like, whoever runs the fastest, we picking with our first pick. And not knowing they first pick is in the third round, so you wasn't right. Getting it anyway. but I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, ain't going to be me. y'all boys was rolling that day, boy. Y'all, I think three of y'all ran 4.2. Yep. You, Buster, DeMarcus, and I ran my casual 4.5 and was like, you know, let's hope I get in. But I just remember us chopping it up throughout the process and getting to know everybody and getting to know you going back and forth from the weigh-ins to when we had to do the bench. To when we had to do the workouts, man, it was really cool to get to know you and get to know everybody. And then we get into our career and then you out there, boom, on the scene, taking every punt back to the crib, not letting nobody tackle you, pro ball. And I get my start and get me a few grabs. And then we start really getting into it the second year when we really start getting nasty and everybody, we bust on the scene and Revis is already on the scene, but he didn't really want to let us get on the scene like we wanted right. to. But I mean, it's just been, you really pushed me, man. And early on, man, and I felt like I've always, you know, had a ton of respect and admired you really from that day we met at Combine, you know, and we had those conversations. I always respected and admired the athlete, the how you prepare, the technique. And then I always want to tell you, you always switch up at the line. I'll be like, man, Pat, which one are you playing? You a step one time, you a soft shoe one time, you a hop out one time. I'm like, Pat, what are we doing? And then be strapping. I mean, right. Like, man, I wish I could run 4.2 and do all this. I got to be straight tech, like buttoned up. but it really, you really set the bar for me and the barometer of where to chase. So I'm constantly like, I go play the game and then go, what Pat do today? Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, get to work.
That's dope.
And I appreciate that, bro. I really did, man, because you need that. You need that. You know what I mean? And it can't just be anybody. It can't just be some slouch. It got to be somebody up there to chase, right. You know, to challenge you to. And, man, I just remember when I used to go to Larry's game, his softball game, and we used to talk about it. That's when things got better. That's when things got better for us. Because I think we both realized we just competitive as hell and we want the same thing and we just happen to be in different places.
Well, for both of you guys, question for both of you guys, talking about the early part of your relationship, what do you think actually fueled the back and forth? What is it the media always asking? Because you guys were with such a high standard when it comes to the cornerback position. They was always trying to compare and contrast. Or was it the division rivalry, you know, Cardinals, Seahawks? Or was it the potential money that was on the table? You know what I mean? Because both of you guys was going in a direction where you was going to reset the cornerback market. But for both, what do you think actually fueled the back and forth?
I think all of the above.
Right.
I think all of the above. And like Sherm said, and I told you just when we talked about this, when we had our conversation, like he said, we pushed each other. And it was just the competitive edge that both of us had that, you know, we wanted to find a way to get the best out of each other. And like Sherm said, I appreciated that as well, because not only, you know, him being playing the same position I'm playing, but I got to see him twice a year. You know what I mean? And like anytime we play Seattle, like you said, I'm trying to watch what Sherm's doing. Like I'm not even sitting down. I'm on the sideline, seeing what techniques he's using, seeing how I can be, you know, be better with my eyes. Cause you know, I was a guy, I never really played with my eyes. I was always in the receiver's face.
Right.
So I always wanted to find out, you know, how, like what he's seeing, you know, how deep is how far is he from the receiver, from the line of scrimmage? Because you had a very good knack at that, especially, you know, that 7 yards off, reading route combinations and things like that. And those are things that, you know, I wanted to, you know, implement into my game as well. But all of the above, to be honest with you.
that's 100% true. Like it wasn't naturally like me and Revis beef is different. We had a real, that's legitimate. not anything like fisticuffs or nothing, right. just like unnecessary banter, you know, right. But me and Pats was just two guys who from the same draft class that's constantly compared in the same division, you know, both on an all decade team, both on the same trajectory, who believe rightfully so that they're the best player at the position. And it's like, what would you expect him to say? You know what I mean? Right. Like, like, oh no, he's better than me. Like, you better not say that. That's gonna be the last thing. And he was doing it so dynamically, you know, and he had like people always say this. They're like, man, you're not a man corner because you're not 4-2. I said, there's no true like man zone corner no more. There's nobody that plays straight man. There's nobody that plays straight zone, but there are different styles. Like I can't play how he plays because I'm not running 4-2. So I don't have the leeway to like, exactly. Hey, I'm gonna try this out. Hey. And if they get me, I'm gonna catch it.
Sherm, a lot of people who don't know the game don't understand that.
Right.
That is one of one. He can do things that if you run 4.4, 4.5, you can't do.
You're not coming back from that.
No. So you got to be sound at the line of scrimmage. And that's one thing I always emphasize to Pat, even going back to high school, bro, your speed will always put you in positions to dominate. But when you get more technical and add that to what you already been blessed with, oh, the sky's the limit.
Right. And now you way more technical, you know, as we get older, you'll take it looks like it's bang, 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 bang. It's methodical.
No question.
But that was a big thing. And it was like Pat said, we got to see each other. So I got to sit there. We play Arizona. Like, what is he doing? Like, damn, he giving them boys hell. Like, he was just struck. And it used to be like, man, it's like the rivalry and the competition within the competition, within the game. And you're like, man, I got to go over there and perform. Or, you know, this the game they watching. They're going to be like, this is why he nicer than you. Because when he showed up in your stadium, he outplayed yours.
Yeah. Hey, that's how I was, too. Anytime we played Seattle, I was like, man, that motherfucker better not get no pick. I mean, I got to get one.
But look, I'll say this. The guys y'all put out at quarterback sometimes did not give you a chance to win.
It was some dog years.
It was some rough years. And they were still, the defense was good enough over there that they were still finding a way to win those games. And I was like, man, y'all winning with these. And Bruce still running the same plays in Tampa that he was running in Arizona, running them straight bombs, them concepts with three receivers getting that funky bunch, and you like can't press nobody. Right. It's like, okay. But man, it was so fun and it brought out the best. And like I don't know, like I tell people about getting drafted in the fifth round. I don't know how it would have went without a rival, without somebody to like push you. You know what I mean? Like, like it's just like you sitting there and people tell you you're good, you're really good, and ain't nobody else really doing it. And you're like, all right, well, I must be the guy. Then I get comfortable. Then I get full, and now I fall off quick.
No question.
But when you got somebody every year, you're like, damn, all right. Like, you ain't no slouch. You better not slouch, because then he going to make it very unanimous.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Sherm, you mentioned something earlier when you said the back and forth between you and Pat was different than the back and forth between you and Darrell Revis. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for our listeners and viewers that might not know exactly the extent of that back and forth that you had with Darrell Revis?
Well, I don't think me and Pat ever had anything personal. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it was always the game. You know what I mean?
No, we compete,
we see each other. It's all love. It's all, man, how you been? How's your family? And with Revis, I think, I don't know if he ever looked at me as like a peer. You know what I mean? I think he like I was a little annoying ass kid. And so when I did the 2012, like, who's the best corner, you know, me and Revis, and I really did that for Bleacher Report. They were like, hey, this would be a pretty funny gag. Like, walk out and ask people who's the best corner in the game. And I was like, okay. So I walked around Super Bowl, did it. It ended up being pretty funny, going viral. And it wasn't nothing, like, bad said about nobody, you know. It's just people laughing. Most of the people don't even know who I am. And it was good deal. And so he got really frustrated, I guess, and went on Twitter. I was on a plane on a flight and I landed and my phone was just blowing up. And I'm like, damn, what the hell happened? Like, did I do something? Did I accidentally tweet something that I wasn't supposed to tweet? Like, did something? And I see it's just him. He went on like a rant about like, I keep your name, keep my name out your mouth. You ain't never on my level. And then, you know, I don't respond well to that. I don't respond well to that kind, especially at that point. You know what I mean? I had 8 picks that year. I'm all pro. Like, you ain't about to talk to me just any kind of way. Like, I'm just a slouch. So I looked up the stats to make sure I was where I was supposed to be and what I was saying. And I said what I said. And I'm like, bro, you know what I mean? Like, you acting like I'm not nice. You acting like what you do is not, it's nice. You know what I mean? You nice and you strap. But I'm nice and I strap too. You know what I mean? You sitting here acting like you strap and I'm just a bum. And I'm not about to let you talk to me like that. And so as time went, there was never like a mutual respect there. You know what I mean? I got a ton of respect for his game and what he's put on tape and what he's put, but it's not matched. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been our gripe. Like, hey, bro, like you're not really holding me in the same standard as what my play does. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not asking you to like, hey, be like, I just want you to be like, hey, respect. Cool. Just like me and Pat, it's a ton of respect there. You know what I mean? It's a rivalry because we both want to be at the same place, but it's not any kind of like Pat sucks. Like, ain't no nothing like that. Cause that'd be dumb. That'd be ridiculous to say, you know what I mean? He's too good of a player. He put it on tape. And so that's where our rivalry is stemmed from. And then in 2019, when we were in the NFC Championship and Devontae did that inside release fade and that boy tricked the hell out of me. Cause I damn sure thought he was coming down for that curl. and he caught that. And then Revis is on Twitter again, back at it. Like,
oh, so
like,
it was still on his mind going back to 2012.
It was still on his mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what I'm like. We just won the NFC Championship. And bro, like, you can't do nothing but hate. I've given up 300 yards on the season in my ninth year, like off an Achilles. Like, you got to stop hating at some point, bro. And so, you know, I went back at him, you know what I mean? Because it's like, bro, like, when is enough? We grown now. We ain't kids. Like, and it ain't like, I'm talking about you. I'm saying something about you. I'm playing ball. I ain't worried about you. I ain't, you know, ain't said nothing bad about you. And so at that point, it's just like, all right, bro, like, you going to make me say something and point some things out that people might not understand about your game. It may not be as buttoned up as you think it is. You know, all these people think it's like, hey, if you play man-to-man, like, that's all you play. Like, no, it's not all anybody plays. Because ain't no teams playing that. Because ain't no backers. Like, it takes everybody to play man-to-man all day. Yeah, like, yep. Your backers got to be man-to-man. Your nickels better be nice. Your safeties better be nice. Like, and if all them ain't nice, you can't play man-to-man all day. Right. And so that's why nobody plays it all the time. I think Patriots might play it, like, the most. And they had, like, 50%, you know, 48%, something like that. Yeah. And they be doing all kind of nonsense. And I don't know how they doing it, but they good at it.
Speaking of another relationship that came a long way, you and Tom Brady, you famously chose you mad, bro, after beating the Patriots in 2012. But what did it mean for you to have him recruit you to be a part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year?
That was cool, man. What was crazy is like, not too far after the you mad, bro game, maybe the next year, we had ran into each other and exchanged numbers, and we have been texted back and forth from, like, then on, you know, and so at that point, it wasn't really a rivalry no more. You know what I mean? He's actually a super nice, you know him, Pat, you know, super nice guy, super competitive, you know, just a good dude. So it coming full circle like that was really cool, you know, to get to share the locker room with him, be a teammate with him, compete with him, try to win ball games, just get to know him as a human being and get to know, you know, sometimes you meet people and you're like, man, that dude, like, I wish I wouldn't have met him, you know. I would have just kept my thought process and my vision of him how it was. But with him, man, he's as advertised, man. He's a good human being. He's competitive. He's, you know, one of those give the shirt off his back kind of dudes. At least that's what he seemed like to me. You know, he had no reason to be fake with me. We both grown. Yeah. And he studies hard as shit. I'm like, after 22 years, you ain't bored watching film. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part where I'm like you know what I mean? The routine and the consistent, you know, it's the hamster wheel. Like, you got to find a way to keep it fresh and keep it nice, keep it new. And he's just still locked in like he's a rookie. And sitting there, like, as soon as you get on the plane, bam, got his watching his tape, writing his notes. And you're like,
he disrespect.
That's why he is who he is. And I've heard the same thing about Tom being such a team-oriented guy. And you guys know this. Most quarterbacks, especially when they hit that status, they kind of isolate themselves from the guys. They don't become one of the guys. They kind of do everything as an individual. So with that being said, you also in Seattle, you play with a guy in Russell who I believe will go into the Hall of Fame, won a championship. What would be the difference, the difference in the two quarterbacks? You know, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. What would you say what's the biggest different trait or skill set both guys have?
Well, they got different styles of game. You know, Tom ain't moving outside that pocket at all, in the least. That boy, he might not even move to the tackle box, outside the tackle box. And Russell is taking more shots, and most of his big plays are big plays. You know, he's taking shots. He's not really taking the intermediate. He's not taking what they give him most of the time. That's where he struggles at times, is when, you know, the defense is not taking away the bomb and they're giving you everything in front of you and you're not taking what's in front of you. And Tom is the opposite. Tom is taking whatever you give him for as long as it takes to win this game. Like, he'll take 5 yards 20 times down the field all the way, touchdown. Like, I'm not worried about it. It'll be a 20-play drive. We could do 10 20-play drives and I'm good with it. He's not rushing. He's not getting impatient. And that was one of the crazy things about the Super Bowl. It's like we had him, you know what I mean, strapped. And one of our starters got hurt, but it's like we had him strapped. And then he just got super patient. He's like, I'm not forcing nothing. I'm not giving y'all a chance at the ball. If I don't see him open, I'm putting it in the ground or I'm checking it down. I'm not giving y'all a chance to catch this football. And he didn't. He threw a pick in the first drive and really didn't give us much of a chance throughout the rest of the game. And it's that kind of patience that makes him great, because it's what you going to do with him? You know what I mean? You can't bait him. You can't you can't get him in a situation where you're uncomfortable. We are hitting him in the face and he's getting back up, wipe the blood off his lip, find it back up again. You know what I mean? A dude like that won't get rattled by hitting. He won't, like, it's like, what do you do with him? And that's why he's consistently won. And I think Russell has been great. This opportunity in Denver will give him a chance to cement everything you're talking about. It's like, hey, is he who he thinks he is? You know, is he who the world thinks he is? Because if he goes to Denver and wins in that freaking gauntlet of a division, it is. Solidify, give him his jacket. Now, if he does not, then it's a whole different conversation. You know what I mean? Then it gets to become.
What do you mean, Sherman, when you say win? You mean win a championship or get to that level? What do you mean when you say win to cement who he is as a player? Quarterback.
But I don't think they brought him over there to do anything less. You know what I mean? Like, if they get put out in the first round, like, you're not going to consider that. Is that a success for that team? You know what I mean? With everything they did to get him?
Right.
I don't know. You know, that's up to other people. But But I think they brought him over there to win championship. And I think in that division, going through that division and winning a championship in that division would prove beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is an elite, great, all-time quarterback. Because you got to go through the Chargers, who are charged up on defense and at every level.
No question.
On offense, tons of playmakers, every level. Kansas City, proven championship contender every year. And then the Raiders just got Devontae. And people who haven't played Devontae,
he's
say whatever they want about Devontae.
He's a problem.
People that play Devontae go speak the gospel and say he's an issue, very much an issue.
No doubt about it.
And so then Denver has three really good receivers, but I don't know if any of them, I think one of them has gone over 1,000 yards, you know, and the O-line has never played with Russell Wilson. So it's like, that's something, an adjustment, because he's not Tom. He's not sitting in the pocket that you create. He may be outside the tackle box within two steps, you know, hey, I feel pressure here, bam, I'm going out here and I'm creating more time. And so it takes a second to get adjusted to that. So it's going to take a second for that team and that O-line and the coordinators to get adjusted to what he's doing. And if they catch on fast and he goes and wins.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree
with you
100%. Only time will tell. It's going to be fun, though. That AFC West is like the group of death.
Right.
You're going to earn it.
You're going to earn it.
You come out of that division, you're going to
earn it. Just like that time when we was, you know, in our division, the NFC West, from that 2012 to about 15.
15?
If you came out the West, you pretty much won the championship. And you also had the privilege to play with three of my favorite coaches, Coach Rapone, Coach Rock, and Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
I talk about those guys all the time. But can you give the fans from another perspective, because I talk about them enough, can you let the fans know how those men are?
Bro, it's three totally different human beings, first of all. Right. Three totally different like approaches to the game. Rapone is like an old school godfather. But with so much knowledge of the game, so much breadth, and such a great way of explaining things and making sure guys totally understand the concepts. He's not trying to overwhelm nobody. He's not trying to speak down to nobody. He's doing a great job of teaching. He's like one of the best teachers that I've been around. And I've been around Chris Richard, who in my mind is the best.
Yeah.
And he does a great job with the safeties. And then just making sure guys' mental is great. You know, that's where I think coaches get lost sometimes. You never check on guys. Coach Pone's like, hey, you know, he'd be talking to Jordan or Antoine. He's like, hey, how are you guys doing? You guys all right? Your girlfriend's all right? You know, just in a casual way, but he's like really checking on y'all.
Right.
And Rock is a cool motivator. He is funny, man.
He had me in
that room week every day.
Hey, did he size you up for your jacket?
Hey, he talked to them dudes every day about it, though, to the point where you like, hey, Rock, you ain't got to say it today. Like, look, y'all boys practicing like this, y'all ain't going to never get where he at.
Right.
Y'all ain't never going to be like, damn, Rock, I'm on the team. I'm with them today. But, man, a great coach and a great friend. I still talk to Rock now, man, because he's such a cool dude, man. He kept everything solid. Talk the hell out of it. Make sure guys understand. And then he holds you accountable. Hold dudes accountable when they're not holding the standard. Like, oh, y'all think you're sweet. Y'all think because y'all won a Super Bowl last year that, oh, that's going to win y'all these games. And it's not. Right. And I think that's why he's great for that room. And Todd is just cool all the time. Like, hey, whatever y'all trying to do, we going to do. Like, blitz the hell out of him. Look, this guy's terrible. He's going to get him here. All we got to do is attack this guy. This guy has no strength, no anchor. You see it right here. We're going to go through him. TB, that's pretty matter of fact. So I think I feel pretty confident going in here that we, you know what I mean? The only game we did that we did not is we went to the Jets game. And the O-line wasn't great. But they was some of them nasty, like you remember Sweezy for us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like where you just like just a gritty – grind it out, do the extras after the play. They had an O-line full of them.
Yeah.
And boy, in that first half of that game, they was giving our D-line a business. And it was because they were like, hey, we better than them. You know, we more talented, but they just don't give a damn. Like, they doing everything they can to get y'all boys blocked and do the extras. And by the time y'all realize it, it's too late. Mm-hmm. And we were that's the game Antonio did all that craziness. But we were down like 14.
Yeah.
Right.
We were down like 14 in that game.
Second half, y'all came back and took over.
Right, which was crazy because if they had just, they were running the ball down our throat. And if they had just kept running the ball, it was no way that we were going to come back. But some, suddenly they just were like, we're going to throw the ball every play. Like, all right,
hey,
cool.
Hey, sure. How surprised were you when AB did what he did, though? Speaking of that ball game.
That surprises everybody else.
Like, take us through your mindset, you know, being the player that you are at that time. And of course, understanding what was that, because you had an ugly first half.
Yeah.
Ugly first half.
Bro, you have no idea. That was one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of, because we had two starting DBs that were on, they were on the COVID list. They got put on the COVID list on Monday.
Yeah.
But at that point, it was only 5 days. Them boys couldn't come back until the day of the game.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They flew in the day of the game and was on the freeway stuck in traffic when we finished warm-ups.
Oh.
We go to kickoff. Them boys had just put their pants on and shoulder pads and running out to the field. No warm-up, no nothing. And we had to start that ball game.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. Wow. You're like, could you imagine, Pat?
No, like, you don't have a full week of preparation, and you don't get a chance to warm up. You get straight out of the Uber.
Right. Off the plane.
Off the plane, Uber, in the traffic. Uber, or wherever, and
forget your routine.
Ball.
Forget your routine that you've been doing all year to get your mind right and get ready to strap and get your music playing and, and none of that.
Who were the two players? Can you name them for us?
I'd rather not, because I don't want to put them out there. You know, they ain't on the show. But but they're DBs.
Gotcha.
And that's the hardest position to come off the plane.
What, no warm-up?
No warm-up, no nothing.
Man, them glutes, man. They ain't warmed up.
So, everything started tightening up.
Suffice it to say, one of them pulled their hamstring. The other one was strained something. But, and then, so the game starting off crazy. Mm. So we like these Jets, you know what I mean? I love Saleh. Saleh was my DC.
Yeah.
He was with us in Seattle, so he's the head coach. I feel happy for him. He got a head coach job. But we losing the game, and we trying to fight for the number one seed. And I'm like, there's no way we losing this game to the Jets right now. Like, how?
Right.
And then we, like, on defense, trying to figure out how to get them stopped. And you hear a little bit of stuff from the offense. You're like, AB had just cooked somebody on like a curl, like found a blind spot, sold the go route, set it down on him. You know what I mean? Yep. A young boy. And it was like, okay, AB, you feeling good today? Mm-hmm. We getting it together. And you just hear him calling AB. And he's sitting on the bench.
Like, damn.
Damn, he must have rolled his ankle. So we still doing adjustments. We still going over our adjustment. And defense go back on the field. Bomb, we get a stop. We come back. And they're like, AB. Like, and then I see Bruce sitting there talking to him. And you know Bruce don't – he get fired up, but he ain't just cussing nobody out on game. Right. And he started getting kind of fired up sitting right next to AB. I'm like, man, what the hell is going on right here?
Right.
But it's like, okay, whatever. I got other stuff to worry about.
No question.
We go back watching, coaching up our DBs. Like, hey, we should do this. And you look up on the Jumbotron and you see the video of him, like, taking his shirt off and doing that. And you're like,
yeah.
What the hell?
Really
but it had already happened. This was just a replay of it.
Oh, they showed a replay like it was a touchdown.
Bro, they showed the replay like three times.
Wow.
And by that time, he was already gone. We were like, bro, we down 14. These boys had came late. And all the rest of our receivers were injured.
Yeah.
So you remember young Cyril from LSU. Yeah. Cyril didn't play football. He ran track.
Right.
So Cyril ended up being the savior of the game, freshly off the practice squad, game winning tug. They ran cover two. Tom found him in the hole, safety under tried to undercut it, tug, game.
Right.
And it was like, well, Tom, you got something else going on with how you kind of maneuver in these games. Like even the Rams game in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, like, that was, yeah, yeah. When he like, didn't have none of his receivers,
except
Evans.
Right. That's what hurt us with AB is because the game he was supposed to come back from the suspension, Mike Evans got hurt, Godwin tore his ACL, that game. Mm-hmm. And then all we had was AB. And he was coming back fresh off of suspension and injury.
Yeah.
And I think he had 15 targets the first game he came back.
Yeah, against Carolina.
Yeah.
It was Carolina.
And the Jets was the second game he came back.
Yep.
Mm.
Man. Hey, that was wild, but – I and that is my opinion. If you guys were healthy at a receiver standpoint, I think you guys get to the championship.
I agree. I mean, we still almost got there with
still.
These boys, you know, Bowles. That boy called zero against Cooper Kupp and them boys last play.
And they got Cooper in the slot.
And not even they just got him in the slot. They was hurried up.
Yeah.
So they was hurrying up. So the nickel hadn't even got the call. So they ran a zero blitz without two people that blitzing.
Oh, that's tough.
It's impossible.
Nobody going to get home if you don't got two people that blitz, that's supposed to blitz and they're not blitzing.
And they didn't blitz. So you didn't cover Cooper Kupp and you didn't blitz.
Oh, yeah. Disaster.
That's a disaster all day.
No question. Hey, Sherm, so the most recent healthy back and forth, you know, with Jalen Ramsey about the post, about the best corners to start the career. You know, you talked about it. You brought Pat P's name to the equation as well.
Yeah, my bad, Pat, for bringing you in there.
You good, Chuck.
Hey, Pat said you showed him some tribute, though. He said you showed
him
some tribute.
Right, I showed him love.
No question. But how would you evaluate the state of the position right now, and who is the leading the charge for the next generation of cornerbacks to do it?
Well, I mean, it's got to start with him.
No question. Know,
clearly. And then Lattimore out at New Orleans has been solid for a very long time and consistent and strapping. Gilmore got a defensive MVP, so you always got to throw him in there. Big play Slay is always in the mix, you know what I mean? Depending on what he want to do, he's one of the most talented, like true, pure talented corners still in the game. Zay Howard and J.C. Jackson taking the ball away at a high level, at a high clip.
Yeah, high clip.
I think J.C. got 17 in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think
J.C. got 29 in 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right. Crazy. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I think it's in a good spot, man. It's in a good place. I think there, you know, A.J. Terrell, you cannot speak his name, you know, with the season he just had in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I know we're missing somebody. You know, everybody feels so disrespected. Sure,
you can throw in, you know, you got Trey White with
Trey White, big play Trey,
coming off an ACL. Jair Alexander, who's one of my favorites.
Off the injury?
Yeah, off the injury with the Packers. I'm a big A.J. Terrell fan, though. And I can tell you this much, and we talked about this last week on our episode with me and Pat P. This year for A.J. Terrell, if he gets through the gauntlet of wide receivers that he has coming up this year and ball out,
You got to stamp it.
I mean, Pat, he got Jamar Chase. He got Mike Evans twice. He got DJ Moore twice.
Yep.
Might get a healthy Michael Thomas twice.
Yep.
And I think he got Cooper Kupp. He got
– It was like 10 receivers.
10 big-name receivers.
Yeah.
Was it 13 or 12 when we had a gauntlet? We had to deal with Calvin. We had –
AD. You had in the 12. Who else they had out there during that time?
I gotta go back.
Somebody could have been in that.
Senior definitely was in it with himself. Sure. I was just on his podcast. Still. Like, hey, you didn't have to do us like that. You was all extra. Like, we were just covering you.
Julio, AJ Green.
Yeah, I think that was 13. That had to be 13 or 14 because we had Julio, AJ, Calvin, freaking. And then I mean, Crab was when he was on.
Oh yeah,
could get do it.
Yeah.
Anquan.
There's so many.
I had Larry. You didn't have to deal with Larry.
Right. Yeah, Larry. There's so many of them.
Remember Brandon Lloyd?
Matt.
Pat.
Bro.
What I said, Matt.
Pat talks about Brandon Lloyd all the time, sure.
Bro. Brandon Lloyd. And Stevie Johnson, bro. Yeah.
What I said, Matt.
Hey, Sherm, I gave a comparison. Most people don't understand those two guys were special. They had an unorthodox style of running routes, but it worked for them. And this, I say Justin Jefferson is a combination of Brandon Lloyd and Stevie Johnson right now.
Yes.
Yeah, but way faster.
But faster because both guys were not. Speed, you respect their speed, but it wasn't like, okay, man, if he get a step on me, it might be lights out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Brandon Lloyd, the way he controlled his body, his catch radius, how he catch everything, and Stevie Johnson, the way he can create separation at the beginning of the route or at the end of the route.
Bro, Stevie Johnson gave me the longest day of my life in Toronto. We played Buffalo, and we beat the hell out of him. We beat him by like 40.
Yeah.
But when I tell you it was the longest day of my life, you ever been up by 30 and feel like you're losing?
Oh, yeah.
hey, Sherm out there playing that corner, man. It's the game within the game.
Hey, it's a lonely world out there, baby.
It's lonely. That boy got me in the slot in the red zone. And he ended up just running like a seven cut, you know, which should have been expected. But he had been giving me so much BS the whole game that I'm not even thinking like normal, like regular football, where it's like, hey, not an athlete outside. You in a slot, it's going to be a seven cut or a seam, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, boy, it could be anything. This boy cooked me twice in the route. At that point, I just gave up. I was talking to Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick was the quarterback, and he worked with me on Amazon. Yeah. And he was like, in the game, he's like, when he broke you, I start laughing. And I just tossed it up. I
said, yeah. Wow.
I wasn't laughing. I said, this is going to be tough on film tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, that's dope, because I can tell you this much. We all playing the cornerback position, you all have a few plays that you never forget.
Oh, yeah. We all been there.
No question.
Right.
They're like, man, I hope people ain't talking about that.
Right. Man. But that's why people be like, who's one of the best receivers that you like nobody talks about? I was like, Stevie Johnson didn't have a career that he could have. But just if I needed somebody to get open on a play and we had a certain amount of time.
Yeah, you know how to do it.
Hey, I'm taking him third and five.
No question.
Give me Stevie Johnson. I got him getting open.
Yeah.
Yep. And Sherm, with the Pro Football Hall of Fame coming up, you know, we know it's all going to be in Canton. Do you ever think of that moment now that you're, I don't know if you're fully retired yet, but do you ever think of that moment when it approaches?
I try not to, you know what I mean? Because I just, you know, I feel like we deserve it. You know, I feel like, you know, it's going to happen, but I don't want to assume and be disappointed. Right. That'd be a heavy disappointment. You know what I mean? Right. That'd be a hurtful disappointment.
That's how I am too.
So it's one of those things you just like, you know, hopefully it happens. You know, we did, I think we did enough during our playing days. You know, obviously made the all decade team. We were the best in the time we played. Yeah. And that's really all you can do. You know, I think
my next question, what do you think will be the threshold now? Because, you know, guys who's in the Hall of Fame now, they got like 50 plus interceptions. Do you think the threshold is going to have to change? Because obviously I believe Darrell will be in the Hall of Fame one day, but he only has 29 picks
right
in his career. Do you think the criteria is going to change over the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to. I mean, like Jalen Ramsey was talking about that in the Hall of Fame and all that, but he got 15 interceptions on a career. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I hear you, but 15 interceptions on a career ain't really, it don't seem like it should stack up with the rest of the Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, but his everything else does.
Right.
You know, and the numbers just aren't getting, like, Deion got 53, Charles got 65.
Yeah.
Like, you got like dumb numbers. But I think Revis is obviously clearly going to go in, but it's going to change the threshold because he's going to be the first one that got in under 30, you know? Right. And so after that, it's just like when, who was it, Terrell Davis or somebody got in without 10,000 yards?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
10,000 rushing yards. And they were like, that changed it. You know, that changed it. Because it used to be running backs had to have 10,000.
Even Cliff Branch, who just got in, that only have 8,000 receiving yards.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And it's because it's changing, you know. But those guys played in a time where they could have made those stats. You know what I mean? That's a little different. This is the time where, I mean, I can't think of nobody getting close to 50 interceptions at this point. I mean, quarterbacks is too precise. Are they throwing it away? If they don't see a receiver wide open or they don't see him open, they don't think he has a chance, they're not concussed. They're not out there like sleepwalking through the game like some of them quarterbacks might have been back in the day when the rules wasn't. I mean, I'm just serious.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
Like, they out there seeing three and still letting the ball go. It's like,
right.
I'm saying, Pat, give me a couple of them games.
You know, I'm trying to hear you.
They can't touch them. They can't touch their feet.
No question. Right. Hey, sir, we know you got a lot going on, you know, off the field related, you know, with Amazon, you know, you got a lot going on and we applaud you and keep it going. But you have yet to state that you have retired from the game. So I'm going to give you a hypothetical, right?
You're going to bring me on, put me on the spot like that.
I just want to get, because you haven't said, but sure, you hadn't said I'm officially done with the game of football. You looking at you look like you're still in pretty good shape. You know what I mean? Let's say throughout the year, a playoff caliber team, you know, need some DB services. What about Richard Sherman? Would you entertain that phone call?
Yeah. I'm gonna call the wife first. You know. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
Call the wife and discuss whatever. Hey, so you know, that's one of the ones you look down. Hey, so she didn't call today, and they was wondering if I come for a couple weeks. And you know that thing I used to do. You know, every around this time every year, yeah, they want me to go do that real quick. You ain't about to come back in this house all sore and beat up and have me try to take care of you. And if you go out there, you're going to be taking care of yourself.
So that means she put the decision on you.
She's going to put the decision on me. But
yeah, and how would you handle that decision? If it's a playoff caliber team, let's say it's a team that you know getting into the tournament.
If they get into the tournament, what time of the year is it? You know
what I mean? Let's say it's early December.
I might take that ride.
Yeah.
I might take that ride. Because shit, I mean, at this point, that's all it's about, you know?
Yeah.
Getting back to that game, shit I do. It ain't nothing like losing that over though.
Oh, man, yeah, I did too. And speaking of that, your legacy started immediately with the instant success you had. But how much did your life change in the span of about 15 minutes on January 19, 2014, with what they call the immaculate deflection and how and everything that transpired post-game as well? Take us through that moment.
Well, I mean, it was crazy. You know, first off, I'm sure Pat know about me and Crab Beef. That was legitimate as well. You know, that started at Larry game, and it was just unnecessary. You know, but story for a different day.
Yeah.
First off, that ended our smoke for the time being, and then it ended. Me and Harbaugh had some stuff that went way back into time as well. That kind of got quelled at that point. But it was crazy, man. It was a whirlwind of a next like 5 years, really. Because I mean, I went from like 100,000 followers to 2 million and some change, and you know, people saying every bad thing about you, every good thing about you, you know, telling you you're terrible, you're good, you're an angel, you're the devil, like right. at the same day. And then you're trying to get ready for a Super Bowl, you know, and then you got to sit there and one of the biggest media spectacles of all sports. At the Super Bowl and answer every question in the world about it. Then your teammates got to answer questions about it. And then, you know, so it was crazy. It was cool because a tremendous amount is life-changing, you know, life-changing from terms of like celebrity and fame and all that. But it's also, you know, it's two sides to that coin. You know, it's not like I just got there like the easy way. I got there with a wagon full of supporters and a wagon just as big of haters, people that hate the hell out of me. Like, it ain't nobody in between. Ain't nobody like, I don't know how I feel about it. No.
Right.
They're like, no, that dude sucks. I hate him. Or, man, I love that dude. It ain't no in the middle. So, you know, as long as it don't affect my kids and my family, you know what I mean? I'm built to take all that, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, Sharon, we're going to jump into our superlative part of
Sir.
The show. We're going to have a couple quick questions for you.
We call it two-minute drill, Sherman. We call it two-minute drill. They need a touchdown to score, to beat us. Can't give them a touchdown.
Stay on top.
And we're going to start off with this one. We both acknowledge Calvin Johnson as probably the best receiver that we faced. What was the toughest part of covering him?
It's like covering a horse. Like, you can ride a horse, but have you ever tried to stop him from doing something? Right. He ain't gonna be able to do that. He wants to do it, he's gonna try to do it.
Yeah.
And so I think it was the combination of all the strengths that he had. Like I didn't watch everybody guard him because I don't respect everybody. You know what I mean? I'm not watching somebody guard him that he cooking, and I'm like that's how you gonna do me. Nah, I ain't.
Right.
But I watch you guard him. I'm gonna watch Revis guard him. I'm gonna watch and like y'all had success, but then I saw like oh damn, he must be legit. Like it looks like every play, it's like watching Julio. I only watch certain people guard him, but then once you watch them guard him and see you like, hey, all right now, let me get it together this week because this is full. Yeah. But anytime he runs a go route, there are three things you got to worry about. You got to worry about how fast he is, how tall he is, and how high he can jump.
Yeah. Like, right.
And so I can get on top, I can stack him and control him, but then I still got to worry about him getting to a height that I cannot get to.
Like, yeah.
I still got a 42-inch vertical at 6'6". Like, and so it was, bro, I was working with some of our bigger receivers at ways to kind of try to lean on him, like get that arm down quick so he can't get elevate. Then it's like on slants and stuff, he's like guarding a tight end because you can't just get around his body to bat it down. Like, he's too big. So you either got to beat him to the spot or or you better get that quick grab. Or get ready to tackle him. Any hard tackle.
Right.
Yeah.
Not easy to tackle. It's not like, oh, as soon as he catches, like, I just got to get him down. No, he's still 6'5", 225, mm-hmm. and trying to get somewhere you're not trying to let him go.
No yep. question.
And so he was the all-time because he presented every issue. He's quick, fast, big, strong, great hands, catch at the high point. Like, the one thing I would not do, Pat, and I hopefully Rockingham, I'm sure Rockingham didn't even present this to y'all, but our coaches presented it to us when we played them in 2012 in Detroit. When I think it was Philly, put the vice in.
Yeah, in the red zone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Boy, they must have showed that and said to me and Brandon Browner, and was like, hey, we might do this if we get in. I said, well, we walked out of the meeting. Like, hey, y'all put somebody else in there.
Did I say the same thing?
Yeah. Pat said the same thing. They was asking Pat to do that. Pat, like, I'm not doing that.
Like, that ain't, he better beat me. Like, if he beat exactly. me, respect, tip of the hat. But y'all ain't putting me out there like that.
Right.
That's like being a part of a motorcycle club and having training wheels on. Like, y'all ain't going to do me like that.
Damn, it's so crazy that you saying everything that I said in previous episodes, dog. Every single thing, bro.
Because we feel the same.
Ray Orton tried to get you to get some help or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he tried to put me in Kerry Rowe. I said, what, huh? Although I know it's my second year, but ain't nobody covering him like me. Like Sherm said, you looking at the film. I think they had just beat Dallas when he caught the ball over like five people.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Dallas, I remember that game.
I said, man, no disrespect to those guys, but they ain't me. let me check him. If he beat me, all right, then we can talk. We can regroup, come up with a different plan. But hell, let me go out there and strap first. Let me see what I got.
Right. y'all ain't gonna just hang. Cause y'all kind of making me feel like a way, like y'all ain't believing in me like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Like y'all showing me y'all ain't got no trust in me.
Right. And then I'm like, I'm 6'3". This is literally, I'm tailor made built for him.
No
exactly.
question.
Like, and you especially. I run 4'2", I'm 6'2", 220.
Right.
Who else?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, y'all know how sometimes coaches get afraid sometimes. Yeah, y'all know that. Like, they actually play. No question. Like, they actually got to put on some cleats.
Boy, Super Bowl time, they be like this. Speakers, boy.
No question.
Be sitting there like, bro, y'all trying to make up plays today. Bro, that's how Cam got hurt before we played the Patriots. Bro, Cam was healthy on Saturday morning. Mm. We are in a Saturday walkthrough practice before Super Bowl against the Patriots. We are in the goal line. Corners get out. All safeties. And they always split Gronk out and the other tight end. It used to be Hernandez, but they, Hernandez gone. Mm-hmm. But they always get to the goal line. Bomb. They go in 21. Split them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam got to go out there and guard Gronk. All right. Cam, come on now. Handle it. You're all pro. Make it happen. So instead of the coaches just trusting, Cam is an all pro and he can get it done. They decide, hey, we got to buzz out Malcolm Smith under the sling so that Cam only has to guard the fade. So they wanted to kind of speed run through it real quick on a Saturday.
And this is Saturday. Yeah.
So they speed walk through it. Malcolm is buzzing like a buzz defender should, looking at the quarterback.
Yep.
Cam is guarding it like he should. Mm. Runs into Cam's knee, tears his MCL.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's how that happened.
Damn.
Boy, when you talk about we was ready to fight every one of them coaches because we told them it was stupid before they did it.
Yes.
And then they did it, and that happened. You're like, what the, bruh?
The day before
the game. So Cam is sitting there game ready, laser, like everything, every anti-inflammatory he could take the night before, and then plays in the Super Bowl, plays the whole game.
Yeah, but wasn't himself.
No, hell no, he wasn't himself. He's a grade 2 MCL tear. Like, he should have been out 6 to 8.
Wow. Man, coaches do that. I didn't know that. Yeah. Man, Saturday walkthrough, you're supposed to be out there in some Crocs.
Right.
Like we chilling. We just literally walking through everything.
And usually we are, but they decided to do that. And it was just like, bro, like back to they getting like this. And it's like, bro, this does not make sense. Nah. Like, he's a good player. We good players, bro. Like,
trust.
This ain't like, trust us.
Yeah.
And
y'all got to that point. Doing it a certain way with the same guys.
Right.
Trust.
And at that point, it ain't even like we young. Like, we just won a Super Bowl last year. We established. Like,
y'all
we
just
like
cooked.
That.
Y'all just cooked the Broncos. Heavy. Right. So, y'all, matter of fact, y'all just scored again. Boy, talking about cooking. Mercy Percy just took another one back. Percy Harvey just took another one back. Man, y'all y'all still scoring on the Broncos. So, man, I didn't know that. Saturday walkthrough, speed up. Hurt. Oh, man.
Grade 2 NCL tear.
Favorite Marshawn Lynch story?
Shit, so many of them. Man, first off, Marshawn is a one-of-a-kind human being. I don't know if y'all met him or ran into him or had a conversation with him, but he does not change. He does not, like, hey, I'm going to change how I talk when I'm talking to Pat or when I'm talking to Bruce Arians or when I'm talking to Pete Carroll or President Obama. Like, I'm not, like, he going to talk exactly the same to everybody. I'm going to be exactly the same. If I like something, I'm going to say I like it. If I don't mess with it, it's going to be clear. I don't mess with it. If I think you fake, I'm calling you fake.
Yeah.
Like, and so Marshawn, like, Pete and Marshawn's relationship was cool, but I'm always pretty sure Pete was a little scared of Marshawn. You know what I mean? Like, truly scared of Marshawn because they couldn't really control him. And so every game, you know, Pete kind of like hypes everybody up and hypes everybody, but then he'd get around to Marshawn, he like be hype and happy. And Marshawn don't, like, early game, he kind of just be like standoffish and just like getting himself ready, throw up before the game, like getting himself mind right. And he don't talk to nobody. So Pete just kind of, it'd be hilarious because you just see him hype and like, yeah, with everybody. And then he get the shot and he's just like, you ready? And you're like, yeah, you better not be. You better not mess with him. And then even when Sean makes like huge plays, you know what I mean? Pete's usually on the field, the first one to slap everybody's head. When you see Sean make a big play, like, Pete's like, he don't know what to do. Like, he don't know what to celebrate with him. He's like, is he gonna celebrate with me? I don't want to look stupid on national TV. He's like, great job. Like, oh man, but he's a great human being, man. He's one of the He's like the chillest person on a game day that I've ever played with. Like, you if you got in the game with him and you wouldn't know you're in a Super Bowl, NFC Championship, preseason game, like, he chilling.
Same all the time.
You hand him the ball, he going to tote it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I should have handed him the ball on that goal line.
Okay, all right. Now.
That's the Patriots. What was going? That was, man. Hey, Sherm, I saw your face on the sideline.
Wasn't the other face to make. That's a face of disbelief.
Oh, and disappointment.
I said, wait a minute.
Sure, wait a minute. You're supposed to have two rings right now.
You're supposed to have three.
Yeah, you're supposed to have three.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing for a different day.
Yeah. We ain't gonna talk about that. We're gonna let that one.
It's too soon.
Yeah, you're right.
But the last one before we let you go, Sherm, what was the best part about being a Madden cover athlete?
Well, it's just kind of cool to see, you know, Ray had got it. Troy had kind of got it with Larry. Yeah. But it just wasn't no defensive players getting it. You know, we never get the respect. You never get the love. You never get the hype and acclaim that the offensive players do. No matter if you, like, top of the game or not, you know. And it's just like the Heisman in college. Like, you sitting there, like, when Tyron should have won it. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like every couple of years, you see a defensive player, you're like, man, he should win the Heisman this year. And you're like, he's not, because he's not touching the ball every play. And it's not exciting. You know, ain't going to get a pick every game, you know, a punt return every game. But it was really cool because it felt like defensive players were finally getting the love and respect they deserve. And I got to beat Cam. I got to beat Killer to do it. And I still remember at the combine, Killer was the nicest dude in the world at the combine, man. He did a great job at the combine. And like you said, our 2011 class is the most legendary class.
Yeah, I agree.
And they got to respect it. Like,
I agree.
Alden wouldn't
My goodness. Ooh. You talk about special? Mm. Listen, Sherm, I'm glad you met. I tell people this all the time. Alden Smith, if you look at all the guys defensively, pass rushers that was in that draft, Alden Smith his trajectory was going to a whole nother
hands
place.
Down.
Right.
Special. Right. And you got Vaughn in that class. You got Watt.
JJ.
Yeah. You got some special guys who know
how to. You got Robert Quinn.
You got Quinn. Yeah.
Robert Quinn, Casey Hayward. He's a pass rusher, but he get to the quarterback.
Oh, he gets to the quarterback. Listen,
Alden Smith, I think just pure, just having the it factor, he was going to be one of the best to ever do it.
No question. Yeah and yeah, we both got to see him twice a year.
Yeah, y'all saw him twice.
Golly.
Ryan Kerrigan, Cam Jordan. Yes. I mean, you got some go-getters that can go get the quarterback in y'all draft. But Alden Smith, oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was different, man.
And then you go Julio AJ, Doug Baldwin's in the class.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? Randall Cobb.
Yep.
Then O-line, you got Tyron Smith. You got Jason Kelce.
Jason.
Man, that 2011 class stack. I got my vote.
You got me, Pat, Chris Harris Jr.
Yep.
I mean, it's not about just the quality, you got quantity.
Yes. Right.
It's deep. Y'all deep. Because, you know, Baldwin was late. Sherm, you was, what, fourth, fifth round, if I'm not mistaken? You know what I mean? So, on the back end.
Doug was undrafted.
Doug was undrafted. Yes.
Yeah. Damn sure was.
Man, Chris Harris was undrafted.
Goodness. 2011, man. Only in due time, because, of course, you know, the way how people measure draft classes is based on
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, gold jackets. So, in a matter of time.
Look, if you go by just the top 10, the way they were drafted, maybe top 15, it's probably six in there.
Oh, no question. AJ Green is probably going to get in.
Julio, Pat, Tyron.
What do you think about Cam? You think Cam get in?
I was just about to say. But like I was telling people, and people get mad because this Stafford thing went way out of hand. But if you put him in, Cam and Matt Ryan are like automatics. Because they got MVPs.
Right.
Facts.
At one point, they were considered the best.
Right.
In the game.
And it was no argument. You couldn't really debate and say, no, they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. They actually dominated when they both got
no doubt about it.
Right. And they dominated at a time that Peyton was playing, and Rodgers was still playing, Tom Brady still playing. And they got
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Like, and they're the MVP of the league. Like, there it is.
Yeah. I agree.
So I think he will get a chance. Cam Jordan got a hell of a case.
Yeah, Cam Jordan probably going to get in. Hayward probably going to get
Hayward
in.
Cam Hayward got if it wasn't for AD,
AJ.
Cam Hayward would be freaking considered AD. But
facts.
AD is
in a different system also, because I know that system in Pittsburgh, the defensive linemen are not called to be disruptors all the time.
Right.
And he's still doing numbers. And of course, you know Watt going to get in.
Right. We did all this without mentioning JJ.
Yeah, well, you know Watt gonna get in.
Like, Watt's definitely getting in.
Von Miller.
Von. Like, what are we talking about?
Hey, hit us in the comments for all you guys watching us on YouTube. If you think 2011 is the best, tip your hat to these guys. If you don't, let us know who you would consider.
And don't use no class that already got Hall of Famers in. We don't want to hear about that.
Oh, you know they're gonna go to that.
You can't go to that because we ain't got a chance at that yet.
Right. They going straight to 87. 88, whatever year that
84,
was.
85. Well, I can tell you this much. We got two guys on this show right now that's going to get in.
I appreciate that. I'm going to definitely be at Pat's ceremony, see what he's saying.
It'd be dope. It'd be dope if y'all can get in together.
See if he says something bad about me.
Nah, never that.
I say, Pat, no, I'm in a stance now.
All right. Hey, sir, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
No doubt.
I appreciate you, dog. Real talk, man. And I wish you nothing but success. And also, Mac. He's getting what's your son's name?
Is Raiden. No. I didn't do the junior.
My man, we got a future cornerback on our hands, Matt. We got to keep an eye on him.
Let's get him down to Florida State, Sherm.
Yeah. You know, it's something about that heat that just don't do well with my whole system.
Hey, that type of heat had you cooking.
Boy, we got to December and it was still 85. And I said, how are y'all living like this?
Hey, don't worry, he'll be fine. Tallahassee is not as hot as Tampa.
Where are you from, Pat? Pompano Beach.
It's hot down there.
Y'all. Look, I had a different kind of respect for all y'all after being down there. I said, these boys, I'm in the NFL and I'm still about to die right now. And they were in high school with no AC, nothing.
No good facilities.
Yes, sir.
But hey, Sherm, man, appreciate you. Like Pat said, man, best of luck with all your endeavors. Can't wait to see you on Amazon Prime doing what you do. And also, too, I'm going to throw it out here right now for the into the world out of the manifest in December. Let's see who could give Sherman that call. Let's see what happens.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Look, if I get that call, I'm coming back on the show.
Hey,
and we'll talk about it.
Yes, sir. I love it. Yes, sir. Be safe, Sherm.
Yes, sir.
Right, Sherm.
Appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.